For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
State to state, we got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin, so kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hannafin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by Bet Online. It's down to the last four teams. Bet Online has been your tournament bracket headquarters all throughout March. And now that we're almost down to the finals, we've still got a lot more in store. Major League Baseball season is also here. Plus, the NBA and NHL playoffs are right around the corner. As always, Bet Online is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to Bet Online today and get in on all the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its market savings program. Market savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So, what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save. Penn State football's 2024 spring practices are almost over. We are almost to the 2024 blue-white game, which is going down on Saturday, April 13th at 2 p.m. Eastern, live on the Big Ten Network. For those of you that cannot attend in State College, Pennsylvania, you can watch it on the Big Ten Network. Our own Justin King was able to actually be in State College to attend some of the spring practices, so we have boots on the ground information as to what's been happening at spring practice. So that's a really good thing for us, obviously, all together. Thank you all for tuning in. Like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, rate us, and check us out on social media on X, Instagram, and TikTok at State of State Pod. So, Justin, give me a little background in terms of what was your experience like? How much of practice did you get to see? What did you think? Just kind of overall taking it all in.
Well, it was good. I mean, I went up. It was a Friday practice before Easter, so it was a scrimmage. Right? It was a good practice to come to. You know, they had a lot going on with recruits bustling through and all that good stuff. But I had a chance to, I mean, just essentially talk to, you know, all the friends in the building, and it was interesting. Like, you know, I was coming up there. We lost three corners I mean, three DBs, three corners to the NFL. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like the first thing everyone that I saw was like, yo, the secondary is on top. Like, the secondary is much better than we thought. Like, it was like, that was like the first thing. Like, oh, okay, yeah, let's check it out. So when I was like kind of anticipating it when I got out to practice, you know, get out to practice, it's like a pregame ritual where you kind of walk through the positions and you look at individual, just like the size of the guys, how they're moving, how they're being coached. Now, I'll be honest with you, I started off on the defense end, man. From the defensive line, obviously you got Abdul moving up there, and then they have some younger defensive ends. Shout out to Deion Barnes and just kind of loading that room up with talent. But they have a lot of talent and athleticism up front. And then you obviously add Abdul to the mix. He looks like he's in his natural position, being able to pin his ears back without thinking, and just the athleticism and freakiness just kind of pop out. Get back, just skip the middle section. I mean, the secondary, or the middle area of the defense, and go to the secondary. I mean, again, Lockdown U is alive and well. We talk about just the six, I mean, think about it, well, six or seven DBs that can play at a high clip in just different areas. I mean, just from a skill-based standpoint, nastiness and just how aggressive they are. Then you talk about the safeties, man, Zaki Wheatley, Jalen Reed and KJ. It looks like a well-rounded secondary group. And then we look at the linebackers, again, inexperienced, but a lot of talent. When you think of Rojas, Kobe King, and guys working in there, Tamir Robinson was showing up at the Mike linebacker scene to find his fit in there. So from the defensive standpoint of what I lean towards mostly, I really was impressed by how they were operating on the offensive side. TJ Warren obviously stuck out. I mean, it's just like a player. I mean, first play to scrimmage, he made a play, just all that good stuff.
Dude. Yeah,
just a dude, right? Like, you just want him, he's like, yeah, that's a dude right there. But I'll be honest, like, throughout the rest of the scrimmage, it was just kind of so-so. I mean, there was a little, I don't know if he's a walk-on running back. There was like a small running back that was getting some juice and getting out there and making some plays. I apologize for not.
Been a lot of talk about Cam Wallace. Would that have been it?
Maybe that is that Cam Wallace? Maybe
it's Cam. I don't know which guy.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. It was a running back. I mean, I didn't get it. I mean, sometimes in practice, it's all over the place. But with that being said about the defense, I'm saying that they were looking so good because I don't know. Maybe they were beating up on offense a little bit, or just saw a couple of drops from the outside receivers. Again, the secondary is very good. So when they go against offensive players, like, they play sticky coverage. But I mean, it's the spring ball. Offense is implementing a new offense. I will say there's a lot of shifts in motions, a lot of movement pre-snap with Andy Kolonicki going into the season. And it gives that, you know, guys got to be on their P's and Q's to line up and play. So we talk about getting edges and making sure assignment football is square. That seems to be their approach a little bit. And even with Tom Allen's new defense, it seems like there's more secondary players on the field, which is like more of an NFL type of look where a lot of guys are moving around. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all gels together, but I enjoyed my time at practice. I had a daddy daughter trip and almost like a recruiting visit. You know what I mean? So it was cool.
That's beautiful.
As you all know, we here at State of State have partnered with Cut, the social betting platform. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting platform that allows you to bet directly against your buddies and other fans. That's right. You can join the Believe Podcast Network crew on Cut today and bet directly against your favorite Believe hosts on your favorite sports, pop culture, and political topics. Cut is the ultimate put your money where your mouth is platform. Be sure to follow at CutBet on all your social media channels and download the app via the App Store or Cut.com. Use our promo code Believe Penn State. That's BLEAV Penn State for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code Believe Penn State. That's BLEAV Penn State. Cut. Put your money where your mouth is. State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's interesting because James Franklin, I think, said to the media recently, he used the word meaningless in regards to what spring practice means. Now, like, he wasn't saying this is pointless, we're doing this for our health or something like that, but just saying that, like, no position battle, for instance, is going to be determined during spring ball. This is the installation period. It's three new coordinators getting used to all these players, the transfers getting used to everything, the freshmen getting used to everything. Like, there's so many things where the wheels are just kind of breaking out of that rust, so to speak. So you understand that, and I've heard for years covering football that it's like, yeah, during spring the defense is usually consistently ahead of the offense just because the offensive installation period and adding all the things that Andy Kotelnicki wants to do. That sounds about right. I do want to talk about quarterbacks, and I do want to talk about wide receivers, but I want to sit with what you were talking about there with the defensive backs for just a moment. There were plenty of people, myself included, concerned coming out of the Peach Bowl for the likes of Cam Miller and Zion Tracy, who had rough outings against Ole Miss. I think that's fair to say. However, speaking to Daquan Hardy a few weeks ago here on this show, and then hearing what you were just saying, it sounds like the reports coming out of camp is that those two have busted their butts and look sharp, and that I don't necessarily know if it's going to be a tremendous drop-off from what you saw last year at corner, not to mention Jalen Kimber coming in from Florida, A.J. Harris coming in from Georgia. What did you see from Tracy, Miller, Kimber, and Harris?
Well, I mean, I think of the collective, it's interesting because there was a DB that transferred from Mississippi State last year, AC, I think, is everybody
Collins. Called him.
Collins, yep. And he was, I would say, Sean, the brightest from what I've seen.
Interesting.
So far. So it's like, even from that standpoint, we talk about depth in heaven. Guys that can play when guys are being able to show up and different stuff like that. So I like the cornerback from Georgia, very aggressive group of defensive backs, I will say. Just all around from the safeties and the corner. So it was exciting to watch. I mean, from just an evaluator standpoint. But yeah, I think they're all still jockeying, but like I said, I think they're six deep in that corner room. So when I'm saying I don't really think there's too much of a drop off with any of those guys.
That's interesting. So Audavian Collins is who you're talking about. He's a redshirt sophomore that transferred from Mississippi State last offseason.
Yes.
He barely got in last year. I think in one or two instances, nothing special.
Yeah, he was flashing. Let's just say that, like, from what I've seen. And then again, his name popped up a lot of times when, you know, people like to tell me about players. His name was one that kept coming to the surface.
And I think it was it Daquan who said to us a few weeks ago that Antoine Belgrave Shorter, who's a freshman out of Jacksonville, Florida, maybe, did you mention him or Daquan? I can't remember.
I think they did, but him as well. But he's just a younger guy. But again, the depth that I'm speaking of, that's y'all go into that.
That's crazy. That's beautiful. And in terms of the linebacker position, it's something you and I talked about pretty thoroughly over the last few weeks, is that, you know, there's Kobe King, who's probably going to stand out as the primary linebacker, Mike linebacker, if anything. And then it's this open competition. But based on what you saw, does it seem like there's going to be fewer linebackers on the field at any given point under Tom Allen?
Yeah, that's what it might seem like, depending on the third down packages that they get, especially with the new West Coast Coast teams coming in there. But I mean, it still looks like an athletic group, and essentially that depth at the secondary spot kind of fills it up a little bit, but they didn't show too many sub packages or couldn't get a read from that from the spring practice.
Of course. Now, a lot of positivity about Abdul Carter switching from linebacker to defensive end. The word out of spring practice is that it's a natural fit. It makes all too much sense. Denai Dennis Sutton missed a handful of practices up front, but has gotten into spring practices. Not sure if you heard anything about Denai Dennis Sutton in terms of what's going on with him, but it sounds like you've got your bookends there in DDS and Carter.
Yeah, I think you can feel good going into the season. I mean, the main thing about spring is making sure all the players get out healthy as possible and developed, right? So, but with health taking the precedent over development. So I don't know what the injury situation is. I don't speak on injuries, but yeah, I'm not too sure what his status is from that standpoint.
What other defensive ends, pass rushers did you see outside of those two that stood out to you?
I can't say even from the pass rushers that I've seen like stood out, but we're just like evaluating again from the before the scrimmage, just how athletic the whole group in general looked. And then when they did start, I couldn't identify certain players. It's different when you're on the field. Those guys are huge. I can't always see, so not that tall. So
it's you're, not like so, you're big, man. You're a little
can't always see everything, but you can just see things happening. That's why I'm able to give kind of an overview, not necessarily detail to players.
I got you. You would love that that all 22 look if you could just show up and be like, I'll be up here and I can
yeah, look down. Yeah, just 100%. Just give me an iPad on the sidelines. I mean, all the different top college programs have the big camera in the sky.
That's perfect. All right, let's switch over to offense. Quarterback. Certainly a lot of attention goes to Drew Auer and Bo Prabula. A small piece of information, no disrespect, coming out of spring practice is Jackson Smolak has sustained an injury. So as of right now, the working third quarterback is Ethan Grunkemeyer, who is a true freshman hopping in. What did you see from the quarterbacks altogether? I don't know how much you got to watch of them.
I actually didn't get a chance to see them too much. Like I said, some of the live periods, there was a couple of drop balls, but nothing to really evaluate the quarterbacks on in just that short amount of time. Such a variable position.
How much of that, what you saw, was working on air?
No, it was against defense.
It was against the defense all.
It was against the defense, yeah.
Gotcha. In terms of those receivers, Julian Fleming, thoughts?
Yeah, he's the receiver that transferred in from Ohio State. I don't know if he had a decent day on Friday. I saw a couple drops, but I mean, again, spring ball, right? And going against one of the top secondaries in the country. There wasn't anything that just kind of shined in practice. It wasn't like a highlight play or anything of that nature, but seems like the teammates, he's a good teammate and everyone likes him. And he's like comes in with that veteran presence. So we'll see how it continues to matriculate through the summer and into the fall.
The word on him continues to be that he is showing leadership by example, has certainly stepped in and said and done all the right things. You know, no personality issues or attitude issues or anything from what I've heard necessarily. And it sounds like fitting in from a leadership perspective is important for this group. You and I have talked about it a bunch. It's like, who's the dedicated or number one leader on this offense? And I don't know if that's going to get figured out in spring ball. Hopefully that's something figured out by August at the very latest, but it's positive to hear that he's stepping up in that wide receiver room that could use a veteran presence. But you're also looking at other veteran wide receivers like a Trey Wallace and a Keandre Lambert Smith. What did you get to see out of those two?
Again, during the scrimmage, like they weren't throwing the ball downfield, so I didn't see too much from the receivers. Again, I don't know if they were covered or what the case was, but just didn't see too much action in this game.
Okay. Running the ball, running backs, what'd you think?
That's what I said. Some guys would tell me it was a walk-on, but it was like a shorter running back that was really getting juice and doing some stuff out there. And I don't know much of the running backs outside of Katron and Katron and Nick. And I mean, yeah. Even some of the other running backs, I don't know if they weren't just practicing that day or what the deal was, but I don't ask too many questions when I don't see people.
No, I understand that. Cam Wallace, for what it's worth, is a redshirt freshman, 5'9", 199 pounds out of Mount Vernon, Georgia.
I think that's who it was.
Is that who? Yeah, because there's been a lot of talk. I know you're high on Quentin Martin because you're biased towards your Pittsburgh guys. I know that. I'm kidding.
I'm not. Let's put that out there. I'm not biased towards them. I'm actually probably harder on them. I'm
kidding. But you know, you mentioned Quentin a few weeks ago, and there is buzz about him, but there are different reporters and experts, et cetera, who are pointing towards likely that Cam Wallace fits in as that number three back behind Nick Singleton and Katron Allen.
That's what I was referring to. I saw a couple of splash plays. I'm starting to think, like, ooh, who's that? Like, it just really looks like that burst. And that gets me excited when I'm not paying attention and someone catches my attention from like a casual, a spark play. So he did that a couple of times. So that is who I'm speaking of.
That's the best. That's the best when that happens. And then if it wasn't him, it was potentially David Kensey Jr., who is 5'7", 173 pounds. I think it was probably Cam that you saw.
Where's the other kid from?
David Kensey is from Marrero, Louisiana, Archbishop Shaw.
I don't know. They held up. Because I asked about it. They were saying it's probably the first one, but
it is the immense challenge as a Penn State football fan during spring practices and especially the blue-white game. Guys get new numbers, no names on the back of the jerseys, which, listen, I'm a traditionalist, I'm all for it, but it is brutal to learn these guys all every year.
That's very true, because like a lot of guys did change their numbers. But I was like, who's that? Who that looks like?
Yeah, because Zion was 12, yep. He's 7 now. Yeah.
So like, yeah, it was definitely a little bit.
Looking at the offensive line, don't know how much you really, you know, focused in on what they were doing, but it seems like Cooper Cousins, a freshman who's getting a lot of reps at center, has shined early. Now, there was a lot of hype around him as a recruit, but again, don't know how much of what you saw from the offensive line, but floor is yours.
No, I mean, from the offensive line, it's hard to, again, Endor and Haluba is hard to judge offensive line play. Like, I'm not watching film or anything. But it was, again, the defensive line looked good from just pressure and moving around, doing things like that. But I can't give an eval based on that. Like, the things that I saw at the beginning were just kind of how the team looks from just a totality or holistic standpoint, and just size, athleticism, and movement in their individual drills and some of the scrimmage. So even with the feedback that I gave there, take it with a grain of salt, but we'll see.
Of course, of course. Tight ends? Other than Tyler Warren.
I mean, I didn't see anything. Not from the tight ends, besides him.
Gotcha. What was the overall vibe that you got from the coaching staff?
I mean, it was a recruiting day. I mean, everybody seemed to be in good spirits. It seemed like spring has been going well, and like they've been getting, you know, the development that they wanted out of it. But overall, I mean, it seemed like people were really excited about that secondary or that the cornerback room, to be completely honest. And that's like across the board, coaches, support staff. And, but yeah, that's essentially it.
Have you had a chance to have a conversation with Tom Allen or Andy Kotelnicki, or even just say hello, anything like that?
No, none of that. They were, again, recruits are in the building. It is pretty hectic. It's a zoo. So you try to stay out the way. And
of course. Yeah. It sounds like overall, Justin, you know, I constantly harken back to last offseason where the hype was so intense around this team. And it's not that there isn't positivity around the team, Justin. It's just that it feels like Penn State is running their own race. It's not staying in your lane. That I don't know if that's the right narrative to throw out there, but it just seems like Penn State knows who they are. They know what they're doing in terms of developing their guys. They've got transfers in the building. They feel like they're making the appropriate changes to acclimate to the new staff, et cetera. But the hype was so intense around the potential of this team last year. Right now, it just feels like it's quiet, and quiet's not a bad thing. It just feels like, I don't know, it's working out when nobody sees you working out and you're just grinding towards the future.
Under promise and over deliver. I like that. I like that setup. You know what I mean? Because like I think that's the best way to approach the season as a college football fan. I'm just saying there's a lot of promise, right? Just in the sense of when I think of the roster, there's like question marks here and there, but there's not really negatives anywhere. So never really know how things are going to play out, but I think you feel good going into the season, but not crazy expectations, which I think is good for everybody.
Sure. And also from James Franklin, it just continues to be steering the ship, understanding some of these changes when it comes to NIL and the NCAA, whether or not that continues to exist or not. There's been talks about what's going on in the future of the Big Ten, NIL regulation potentially coming up. Like, it just feels like it's constantly sand moving underneath their feet. And they're just like, okay, let's get to the blue-white game and then roll into the summer. And there'll be another. That's the other thing. The transfer portal is going to open up again. So I think that's a fair question. Do you expect Penn State to dive back into the portal from what you've seen?
I think they go into the portal based on people leaving, but it's hard to tell, right? It's hard to tell from the instance of practice that I saw. But you never know if guys that come in don't win their positions or whatever that might look like, guys jumping in the portal and having to replace for some depth. You never know how that thing goes. I don't think college football has gotten sophisticated enough to anticipate departures and exits into the transfer portal to be able to anticipate, like, hey, let's go after this, that, and the third. But it's going to be interesting to see who goes in there just from the landscape of college football. Because after spring, you get a chance to see, hey, am I playing? Are they having a plan for me to play? You know, and guys that don't, they will jump.
See if anybody pulls a Storm Duck. Yeah. That was the weirdest thing last year. It was so bizarre. It was like, what was it, 3 months that he spent on campus?
Like the Iowa lineman. There we go. He got money out of it. A lot of money.
Caden Proctor. Yeah. Bama, Iowa, back to, what was it, 300 grand?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's a nice little 3 month move transaction.
I might move to Iowa just to see how it goes.
Go, Jim. Maybe, yeah, I'm about to say Caitlin Clarkson's out of there.
For all of you watching and listening, hop in the comment section or get at us on social media. Let us know what you guys are thinking about the existing team, what you guys have heard and read out of spring practices. What do you like? What concerns you? All that sort of stuff. We are very, very excited for the blue-white game again, Saturday, April 13th. We're gearing up for that. Justin, I'm just ready to see what this team is capable of. And just even if it's a glimmer of what Kotelnicki's new offense is going to be, I think it's exciting to Penn State fans. Like, this is hopefully the change that people have wanted to see from the offense for a long time. And we just get a glimpse of it.
Anticipation is better than expectation. So I may go with that. Anticipating some exciting offense. Let's go, Andy. Let's go.
Thank you all for tuning in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.